Psalm 103, verse 13 to 18. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. I'm going to go back to verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Father, I commit this holy word into your now-pierced hands. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, that you will touch every brother, every sister and child who is on this call. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, let faith arise right now in the name of Jesus to receive what you have for them, O Lord, at this hour in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I come against all the forces of darkness and every demonic spirit that is warring against the hearts, minds, and bodies of your people. I bind them in Jesus' name. Take victory in Jesus' name. I ask you, Heavenly Father, that you'll glorify Jesus Christ in our midst once more this night. And I thank you for doing this. And every spirit of distraction, every evil spirit of unbelief, every demonic spirit of unworthiness, every condemning spirit and every doom and gloom spirit, I curse you right now and I cast you out right now in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that a genuine work of the Lord, the genuine fear of the Lord be imparted into every heart right now in Jesus' name. And everything that is not of you and everything that is of Satan, be removed right now. Let it be removed right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this time. And I pray may your word continue to do its work in the lives of your people. And I thank you, I praise you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Please pray this prayer after me. Lord, open my eyes to see your truth. Lord, open my ears to hear your truth. Lord, open my mind to receive your truth. Open my heart to keep your truth. Let me be a doer of your word, not a hearer only. Let me bring forth much fruit to the praise and glory of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak, Lord, I will listen and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. As the Father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Now, when the Lord looks at us, he'll look for one ingredient, very important. If he sees that ingredient, his heart will be moved with compassion towards the people who have that ingredient. When the Lord looks at us, he will look for one ingredient. When he sees that ingredient, his heart will be moved with compassion towards such people who have that ingredient. And that ingredient is called the fear of the Lord. Write this down. God's heart will be moved towards those who fear him. That means bowels of compassion and mercy will arise from within the heart of God towards those who fear him. God is not looking for a philosopher. God is not looking for a doctor. God is not looking for an astronomer. God is not looking for a scientist. God is not looking for somebody who is very charismatic. God is not looking for a big singer. God is not looking for a big musician. God is not looking for a big whatever. God does not need a giant. He is not looking for a huge giant. He doesn't need someone with big capacity, with big strength, and with big planning skills. Nothing. He doesn't need anyone. He's looking for one little fellow like David. God's heart will be moved with compassion towards who? Those who fear him. So, while you're writing this down, put a question there and ask yourself this. Do I fear him? Do I fear the Lord God Almighty? As you write that, write this down along with that. If so, what is the quality of my fear of God? How much do I fear him? What is the quality? Do I just say, oh, I fear God? I know him. I know he can do this. I fear God. Are we like the people that Jesus said, oh, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me? Who am I really on the inside? Ask yourself that question and write this down. Who am I really on the inside? Who am I really on the inside? Do I have the genuine fear of the Lord? And if so, how much? What is the quality of that fear of God? If you want God to favor you, if you want God to pity you, if you want God to do whatever, God alone can do that for you. That you can really say, He is by my side and therefore I shall not be moved. And you need to have the genuine fear of the Lord inside of you. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. So how does he actually see who is his own or not? What is the mark that is there on those who he can identify whether they belong to him or not? The fear of the Lord. Those who really name the name of the Lord should depart from iniquity. That's how he identifies, oh, these are my own. These are the ones who fear me and do my will. They belong to me. Not by which brand we are, which church we are, and what denomination we are. Do we really fear the Lord? Because to fear him is to love him. Do we really honor him? To honor him is to fear him. To fear him is to love him. To love him is to honor him. What is the quality of my fear of the Lord? What is the quality of my love for Jesus Christ? If God would measure our love for him, if God would measure how much we fear him, if God would measure, how much would it be? Ask yourself that question, because the Holy Spirit wants you to evaluate yourself in the presence of the Lord. God wants to take you deeper. Extraordinary favor is for those who fear him. Extraordinary mercy is for those who fear him. God pities, that means my child. When I see my child, my heart is moved with compassion. Why? It's not only my child, it's my child that I love. There's a big distinction there. A mother who has a very rebellious child is not going to show the same love and compassion to the child that brings delight to her, because one is a grief, one is a delight. God says, you know who I will pity? Those who fear me. Can you say, oh God, you're partial. I thought you pity all your children. No. No. Who are my children? God will ask. Who are my children? This is how I identify who belong to me and who does not belong to me. If we don't cleanse our hearts and cleanse our hands, God will simply turn around and say, who are you? I mean, is he going to say that to his child? Obviously not. Not even to a neighbor. That means a person who is rebelling and who is not having the fear of the Lord, he'll put them far away. God is speaking to us today. It's good to have a good self-check every single day. Very important. As I was speaking to the mothers today, one of the mothers said that her mother-in-law used to say, every day, you need to say, God, forgive my sins that I knowingly did and I unknowingly did. Every day you should say that. I told her, that's good. Sounds good. But you know what? Practically, it's not going to really work. Because when you go and ask God for forgiveness, you really need to know what you did, whether you did wrong or not. It's very important for you to go to the presence of God and have the Holy Spirit examine you and repent for your sins. Only then you receive forgiveness. It's not just a blanket covering. Lord, forgive me for what I did and what I, you know, knowingly did and unknowingly did, and then go back and do the same thing. Whatever you unknowingly do, when you ask God, the Spirit of the Lord will zoom in on that and he will show you that you did that. And even if you never thought that it was wrong, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will highlight that. When he highlights that, your conscience is alerted to that which went against the heart of God. That's when all of a sudden, oh my God, how did I even do this? How was I even doing this all these years? All those things will come, you know, when? When the Spirit of God causes our conscience to be touched by His Spirit. So, it is important to go to the presence of God and have the Holy Spirit examine us, not pray generic prayers. Whatever I did knowingly and unknowingly, forgive me. If we want to give God a 1 minute time and a 1 minute prayer and He will treat us the same way, say, okay, you can stay far away. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogant ways should be put away. We truly fear Him. That's what God's word says. So if we really want God to have mercy on us, which we need, I need His mercy, I need His pity, I need His favor. We all do. If we want God to be on our side, if you want God to be on your side, if you want all the days of your misery to come to an end, when I say misery, all the unnecessary burden and trauma and oppression and guilt and the repeated cycle of the curse constantly circling you to come to an end, you need to treat God as God. You need to treat Him as Lord. The genuine fear of the Lord has to be there. Don't wait till you are at your deathbed thinking that I can say sorry to Him. You know what? Many people who have thought like that did not get a chance to say sorry and are in hell right now, weeping for their foolishness. So take a good look at yourself before God. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be one of your children, truly be one of your children, where you look at me and you say, this is my child. I have marked this person as my child. You know why? Because they fear me. Because they do my will. Only those who fear Him will do their will. And only those who do their will are the ones who fear Him. Both are interconnected. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. The power of God that works through the mortal body cannot be explained by human terms. Cannot. That's where the mercy of God comes. The power of God comes. Through all of it, you're still going. Through all of it, you can still accomplish great things for God. Through the fire. Yes, through the fire. He didn't take the fire away. Through the fire you walk. And you come out of the other side, untouched by the fire, God gets all the glory. The Father pities those who fear Him. When we do the work of God, do the will of God His way, He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust, and He pours His power into that frame that is so frail, that is today and will be gone tomorrow. But you know what makes the difference? Is the power of God that comes into that mortal body. It's the power of God that gets into that frail frame. It's the power of God that sustains us in our weaknesses. When we are weak, then we are strong. God says that in our weakness, His strength is being made perfect. But there are times where the Spirit of the Lord will come through in a glorious way. Before that happens, He will see, test our faithfulness to Him. That's a test. He doesn't change anything. He's not altering anything. He's not going to take away anything. He's going to see, are you going to be faithful in the midst of your pain? I'm not taking the pain away. I'm not giving anything extra. I'm not boosting anything here. Are you going to be faithful in the midst of what you're going through? Let me see what you're going to do. If you're worthy or not. Because if you're faithful in the little thing, in the midst of what's happening, that's when He will increase your capacity. That's when the bigger door will come. That's when the door was never to begin to be there, all of a sudden appears. The Father pities only those who fear Him. Never think that, oh, God's grace is for everybody, God's favor is for everybody, you know, you have the same grace I have. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Depends on how faithful you are to God. Depends on your integrity. Depends on where you are in your integrity. Exactly. With that proportion will God reveal His power and His mercy to you. Important. He remembers our body. He remembers all those things. He pities us. He tests us too, knowing how much strength we have, knowing how little strength we have. But we have to be faithful to him. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. The wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. What is the days of a man or a woman likened to? Let's read this one more time so we can put ourselves in that place and remember how few our days are on this earth. Now, foolish it'll be when we think that we're going to live forever, like, I'm planning this, I'm planning that, I want to do this, I want to do that. And not put God first in our lives. Because before we know, it'll be over. Before we know, it'll be over. And we think that, oh, Lord, I may have like, you know, God is going to come soon. I think we have another 10 more years. That's a foolish spirit that would think that way. When God decides that's it, and Jesus has to come, he will come. When God decides our heart has to stop today, it'll stop. We have to go. It'll be foolish to think that I have 10 more years, or even 10 more days, or even 10 more hours. Somebody can say, oh no, here this Pastor Kerber goes again. What are you going to do if you're going to die tomorrow or tonight? She starts the same thing again. I don't like hearing this. Do you know what? It's better to hear that. Because it could be you next. It could be me next. Whatever it is, if God calls, are we ready to go? We must understand that and live every minute as if it is the last day. That's the smartest thing to do. We must live as if every minute is going to be the last minute. That's the smartest thing to do. Because we don't know. There are people who just got up from the bed and fell straight to the ground and they were gone. They were gone. There were people who said goodnight to their loved ones and died in their sleep. They were gone. People who just stepped out of their house and they were gone. Nobody thought. They themselves didn't think. They were gone. What guarantees our life? What gives us that guarantee? How can we have that nerve to think that I have another 5 more years? I can plan for another 5 more months. How foolish are we when we waste our time on things that really doesn't matter? Planning belongs to God. He plans and he'll tell us, do this and we do it. That's it. Being like too organized and too planning is really demonic in a way, because your dependency is on yourself and not in God. Let God order your steps. The steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. You don't have to be scrambling and trying to think, oh Lord, I'm going to order all my steps and I'm going to bring before you and I'm going to say, Lord, let my will be done. Bless my steps. Really. God will not do that. He will bless what he plans. As a father pities his children, the Lord pities those who fear him. Those who fear him are his real children. And he says, I have compassion for you. I have love for you. I have mercy for you. I'll pour out everything on you. I know you. I know what you're made up of, inside and out. You have that little strength and you have that strength, little strength, but you hold on to integrity on the inside. He says, even if your outside is frail, I will show my power through that frail body. Through that frailty, I will show myself. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Now, let's go to verse 15. The days of man, those days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. He is flourishing. Human beings are flourishing. But how is he flourishing? Just like how a flower blooms. You see that? How it looks? It looks pretty. How long does it last? How long? How long? How come it's not lasting for a whole year? How come you don't see one flower lasting for a whole year? You know why? Because God has put a timestamp on it. This is your duration. That's it. No more. Each one of our lives have a start date and an end date. God has put a timestamp on that and a timeline there. We must take stock in what we're doing. We must understand where we are going. We must understand how we are living. If we don't think about that, we can really, really be lost in the ocean called confusion. The Holy Spirit is speaking at this hour. Be very careful and don't be deceived. Our days are very few. And the glory and all that we strive for and try to work hard and try to plan and try to get ahead is just like the flower of that grass that's there. But why? Why struggle? Why break our heads? Why don't we just sleep and then sleep it away? No. We don't struggle. We shouldn't be laboring for the meat that perisheth. We need to be following his plan, and when he tells us to do something, we don't just lay around. We need to get up and get going. So our order has to be God, the leader, and we, the follower. He plans my day, and he orders my steps, and I walk in it, looking at his schedule that he has put for me. Not the other way around. Many people box themselves into what they want to do, called, I'm very organized. Being organized is good, but how organized are you? Are you organized by heaven's order? Or are you organized by earth's order, which is called disorder according to heaven's order? Be careful. Be careful. People take pride in bad behavior. People take pride in negative way of living according to God's standard. Let God order your steps. Let God order your ways. A lot of times when a desire comes, they think, oh, it's the will of God. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. You know why? Because my heart goes in that direction and I try to somehow pull God. If I can twist his arm, if I can only twist his arm and pull him to my direction and say, somehow bless this God. I can't believe that. You're not in it. There are people like that. Right here. The Holy Spirit is showing me. Thankfully, God's arm is way bigger that we cannot twist it. Thank God for that. Otherwise, we'll be doomed. There is a way that seems right before man. The end is destruction. Thank God we can't twist his arm and try to make him go in our direction because we will be destroyed. But one thing we can do is let go of his arm and just go and go towards destruction. That we should not do. Best thing is to have him order our steps. Best thing is to sit down and hear his voice. You know, in order for us to hear his voice and to see what steps he has laid out, we need to walk in obedience to the Lord God, and fear of the Lord is the foundation for that. If I cannot get up and really seek him with passion, where's the fear of the Lord? Where's the love of the Lord? Love of the Lord is to fear him is to love him. To love him is to obey him. To fear him is to obey him. To obey him is to fear him and love him. Know the frailty of your soul and your body. Write this down. Know how frail you are. Know how few your days are. Know it. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Nobody remembers it was there. Even the own place that was there doesn't even remember. Whatever we try to do, it just goes down just like that. Have you seen like the big mansion-like houses that are like haunted houses there outside? Big barns that are empty? Big properties that are vacant? Big factories that are empty? Does anyone remember who was there? Even their own children? Everybody get on with their own lives. that place doesn't remember the person. Yet without seeking God, yet without thinking about eternity, yet without giving time for where we are going to go, yet without thinking who we are going to stand before, yet without thinking that He is the one who's watching over us day and night. He records all our conversations. Thanks be to God for that. 24/7, a videotape is going on in everybody's life, and I give God the glory for that. Thank God for that. He is there in our midst. He takes everything into His journal, His hard drive, permanent drive that goes there. He takes note of everything. If He knows every hair in your head, He listens to every conversation. He watches over everything that we are doing. And when we are walking with Him, He looks at everyone who are dealing with us also. That's recorded too. Just like we will take care of our children, where are they going? Who is talking? Who is that coming near? Who is on the phone with them? I mean, I'm talking about the parents who care about their children. Not about others, oh, you just do whatever you want to. I'm going to be doing whatever I want to. I'm talking about real parents who are really involved in the lives of their children, who take good care of what they're doing all the time. They're watching. Oh, their kids. Who's coming? Who's coming in the door? Even if they're playing, who's coming there? Even if a little bird comes, they'll see. What is there? A stick in front of their leg? That's how God takes care of His people, even more than that. He watches all the people who interact with His own. Everything is recorded. He said, He who touches you touches the apple of His eye. He who touches those who fear Him touches the apple of His eye. Oh, what a glorious blessing God has for His people. God will say, oh, don't mess with him, don't mess with her. You're messing with me. That's how much God takes care of those who fear Him. What a blessing. What a glorious blessing. What an honor to have our Father in heaven, truly to be our Father in heaven, to watch over us day and night, to take care of us and to see who is coming near us, who is trying to take what, who is trying to hurt us? Who is trying to cause confusion? Who is trying to take what belongs to us? He sees everything. If He allows something, then that means He's trying to squash something. Sometimes He won't allow, He'll take action before something can come near us. Sometimes He'll allow it to come near us so that He can just squash it like He did with the Egyptians. He allowed Pharaoh to harden his heart again and again and again and again. Was Moses a false prophet? No. God allowed that in order to destroy the enemies of God once and for all so that they will never chase after the Israelites anymore. They have other enemies to deal with, but not Pharaoh and the Egyptians. The Father pities those who fear Him. I remember, if I can only understand how frail I am, how brief my time on earth is. And I will live in a wise manner, redeeming the time. Being careful of how I behave, how I speak with someone. Living my life before God Almighty, that He sees every word that goes out of my mouth and every conversation I entertain. And every choice that I make and every place that I go and everything that I watch in that device. I have that fear of God. You know why? Before I know, it will be gone. Before I know, I'll be in a place forever and ever based on my choice that I made, whether I feared the Lord or not, whether I did His will or not, whether I squandered what He gave to me or not. God help us. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to His children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. Praise be to God. As I read this, it makes my heart to jump. with the presence of God. What is God doing to those who fear him? What is he doing to those who fear him? He says, he gives that mercy, overflowing mercy, overflowing mercy, overflowing mercy. There's a covering of that mercy continuously on a continual basis. And the children are blessed. The generation is blessed. Who? Those who fear him. Those who fear him are those who obey him, are those who love him. To fear him equals to obey him, equals to love him. What does God do to such people? He says, I'll shower them with my mercy. I'll just flood them with my mercy. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. That means not only here, it just continues. Continues from one end to another with no end and no beginning. That's how God is. He says, that's how my mercy is to those who fear him. Is it worth fearing the Lord? Is it worth living a life as if God is not seeing? Do whatever I want to do. Who cares who that pastor will keep on saying the same thing? I don't care. I wish I can hear some blessings. I thought Psalm 103 is going to bring something really nice. And oh my God, I can't stand this. When I'm hearing this as I'm speaking. I don't know what God was going to speak when he said, go to Psalm 103, by the way. But God is speaking. We know that. Because he loves, he speaks. Because he wants to give us the truth, he speaks. When will our children be blessed? When we fear him. Parents have the power to impart blessings upon your children or transfer generational curse to your kids. By parents being unfaithful to God, their children will inherit curse from God Almighty. That's why many families, you see disaster, all over disaster. Disaster here, disaster there, disaster here, disaster there. Because there's a curse that is going on, transferring from the parents to the children. And the children are a copy of the parents. Unfortunately, it happens that way when it's evil. But there are some children who say, I want to part ways with this and I want to follow Jesus Christ. Like the tribe of Levi. When Moses, through the Spirit of God, asked, who is on the Lord's side? Take your sword. And don't think that this is your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. Whoever went against the Lord, destroy them. And it was the tribe of Levi that came and they said, we are on the Lord's side. And they did exactly what God said. That means they did not take sides. They saw evil as evil and did what God told them to do completely. Brought an end to wickedness. And because of that, God made them his priests forever. What an honor. Levites didn't do it because, oh, he's going to make us something special, so we're going to do it. No, it was a test over there. They passed it. As God has been speaking to us, before God will bless someone, he will test them. He will test them. He tested the children of Israel in the wilderness. Many failed. He tested the children of Israel in Egypt. Many failed. Constant grumbling and complaining from Egypt continued into the wilderness. Did not make it into the promised land. There has to be a stop somewhere and there has to be a turning around somewhere and there has to be a turning towards God somewhere. That's what you call repentance, thorough repentance. Egypt should not be in the heart. Egypt should not be in the mind. Egypt should have no place in the life of any believer. God is speaking to your hearts today. Be faithful to God. If faithfulness is not there, God cannot do anything in your life. You want your generation to be blessed after you. If you want to be blessed, if you don't want your generation to inherit curse, be true to God by having the fear of the Lord upon your life. If you are having the fear of the Lord, then this is good news for you. Truly having the fear of the Lord is good news for you that your children will be blessed after you. the mercy of the Lord will be upon your life like a huge wave that is going over and over and over and covered with the mercy of God. And his righteousness to his children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Who are going to be blessed? The ones who say, Lord, whatever your word says, I will do it. And to remember, that means to really take the word of God seriously, fearing the Lord seriously. And Lord, I am going to remember to do what you are teaching us here. To be diligent in remembering and doing them. Very important. Don't simply say, I'm special, or I'm very special to God and this and that. We'll be just fooling ourselves. There's a definite marker that God has kept in his word. Anyone can become special to God. Anyone. That's the beauty of it. Anyone can lean on the bosom of Jesus. Anyone. You can't be someone with a knife trying to stab Jesus and lean on his bosom. That's not going to happen. That's why Judas lost his place. But you have to be someone who would show him by your love that you are someone who is on his side, the one on the Lord's side. That means you destroy everything that you need to destroy in your life that is against God. Draw the line where you need to draw the line. Sever the relationships that you need to sever. Show God that you are loyal towards him. When you do that, then God will say, there you go. Now you're talking. You're not just being a hypocrite, but you're really, 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 your heart is loyal towards me. Because by your action, you are showing that you fear me. I want to finish with this for tonight. There was this man called Abraham. God went and made a covenant with him. After he made a covenant with him, he fulfilled this promise by giving him a son. And his name was Isaac. After Isaac was born and everything looks good, suddenly he came and he said, take that Isaac to that Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. Told Abraham to do something that Abraham would have never thought in his life that God would have him do. Okay, God called me to leave my country, everything. And I did, but now, after giving me a child after this long and asking me to offer the child as a burnt offering, how can I do this? Many would have walked away at that point, but that was his defining moment in his life. That God was going to change his destiny. The promise that God had promised him way before, the ultimate promise that was going to come to pass. The promise which is greater than Isaac himself that God gave to him was about to unfold in his life by the mighty hand of God. But before that, God wanted to show to his kingdom, to the devil, that Abraham is worth receiving the great promise of God. And I'm saying, I'm not talking about the promise given, inheriting. Before he could cause him to inherit that promise, God was giving him the test so that he can prove before everyone, before the whole heavens and the devil, that Abraham is fit to receive or to inherit what God had promised. The father, an entire new race, people of God, a nation of God. Can God count on you? When God told Abraham to do that, Abraham had no doubt. He knew his God so well. He said, he's not going to do anything that's going to hurt me. He's not going to do anything that's going to hurt my son. He's not going to do anything that's going to hurt my wife. He's not going to do anything. He's not going to do anything that is going to damage me. I know him too well. If he's asking me this, he has a purpose behind it. Even if he takes this from me, he is able to raise him up. You know why? Because he's all faithful and he just got up and he left. What a man of faith, more than marveling at Abraham's faith, we should admire his walk with the Lord. He walked with God so close, he knew his God. He knew his God. He knew his God. Nothing could convince him any other way. Nothing. When he went and he took his child there, and he did what God told him to do by raising his knife, God said, enough. By this I know that you fear me. What was God looking for to display over there? Not some flowery words, not a big song over there with a big trumpet blasting, no. He was looking for obedience. Whatever God is asking from you, it'll start small, but many times in the small things, many people are very unfaithful. God is not asking you to take your Isaac and take him to the Mount Moriah, no. He knows your frame. He knows that you're dust. God is bringing something substantial before you. And God is saying this one thing. Whatever I ask you, whatever I ask of you, small things, how faithful are you? Things pertaining to this world, is it clinging to you? It's so hard for you to give up certain things. It's so hard for you to stop talking to certain people. It's so hard for you to stop certain habits. It's so hard for you to put away certain things. It's so hard for you to close your mouth. Is it so hard for you to do that which you shouldn't be doing? Where is the fear of God? Where is the fear of God? If how I feel, how I think becomes a big part, where is the fear of God? Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who can kill your body. But be afraid of God who is able to both kill your body and soul in hell. That's what Jesus said. So this is far greater, greater than whatever torment, whatever thing that you can experience in the natural realm during this time. May God help us to understand the bigger picture. To those who keep his covenant, careful to observe and to do it. Oh, what a joy. He just pours his mercy upon them. I mean, no one can stand before them all the days of their life, such people. For such people, he makes an eternal covenant with them, like he made with Abraham, he made with Moses, he made with Joshua. He said, no one can stand against you all the days of your life. No one, no one, no one. And God sticks by that covenant because those are his people. They walk with him in integrity. They fear him all the days of their lives. As we're going to close our eyes and look to the Lord, I want you to understand this. Take this deep in your spirit. Do an evaluation before God. To what extent am I fearing him? What is the fear of the Lord, by the way? What do I know about the fear of the Lord? I mean, talk like, oh, I know the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Am I obeying God in everything? Am I honoring God in everything? Whatever I'm doing, am I aware that he's watching me all the time? He's watching every conversation? Every conversation. He is listening to every action of mine. Every web page you browse, every text that you send, every chat group you're in, yes? Every person you talk to over the phone, every comment that you make, how you conduct yourself, he watches over everything. Are we aware that we're doing all these things in his presence, that he's watching? Are we aware of that? How many times we call ourselves the people of God and act godless? But the whole time, the recorder is going on. God's great tape is going on. And it's being backed up. It is put away in the book called the Book of Remembrance. It is a thrill when we walk with Him, when all that we do right before God and our hearts are loyal towards Him is going in that book of remembrance. You know why? Our rewards will come with it. But if our walk is not right before God, everything that we do is going in that big book of remembrance. That book is not just writing. It's a video book which will be displayed on that day. We need to understand my walk with God is mine. It's before Him. Very serious. Your walk with God is yours before Him. And it's very serious. This God who made the heavens and the earth, when He reveals Himself to us, it's not a light thing. Not an ordinary thing. To know that His presence is there, that He is watching over us, to utter complaints, words of distrust, words that He hates, cutting words, rude words, proud words. I know everything. You don't know anything. Shut up. How many people say that in your homes? God is speaking to your hearts today. How many times do you think you know better than the other person? Oh, that's your downfall. That's a spirit of pride. Get rid of it before it destroys you. How many times do you have that attitude in your mind? Nobody knows anything except me. How many of you think this in your heart as the Holy Spirit saying, nobody knows this part of my life, only I know it, nobody can know it. Who cares? God is speaking to your heart. He knows you inside and out. Is that a disgusting pride? Holding that unclean things, keeping it as a trophy, Satan's trophy, is it? That he will hold it against you and say, come with me to hell? Because you had a secret life that you were proud of. Nobody knows. I have not told it to my husband. I have not told it to my wife. I have not told it to anybody. Only I know it. Guess what? When this breath is gone out, it's not going to go with that dead body. No. It's going to go with that spirit. And you're going to answer to God for everything that you've done in your body. Everything that you've done in your mind. Everything that you've done with your mouth, everything that you've done with your hands, the spirit and the soul has to go and give an account for the soul that God gave, for the body that God gave, for the spirit that God gave. These are all loaned to us, understand. And if we don't treat it with care, when we stand before Him, we are with no excuse because we've heard this word again and again and again. As we close tonight, understand this. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will take this deep into your spirits and stabilize each one of you spiritually, that you may become like Joseph, who would say, I cannot do a single thing wrong because my God is watching over me, not as a negative thing, but as a positive thing. Be ready to do good. And be someone who is ready to shut the door to anything that is evil. A broken and a contrite heart, He will not reject. Any heart that is opposite to that, God will say, stay far away. Don't even come near me. I don't want to see your face because it's covered with pride. Don't take pride in having pride. That's a demon, trait of Lucifer that God will not want to see. God is interested in seeing His image in your life. God is interested in seeing His image in your talk. God is interested in seeing His image in your walk. God is interested in seeing His image in your mannerisms. God is interested in seeing His image in your conversation with your wife, with your husband, with your child. God is interested in seeing His image in your transaction, on your phone calls. The image of Christ has to be revealed. If that is not there, we don't belong to Him. Shall we close our eyes and look to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Those who don't have the Spirit of God, they're not of His. They don't belong to Him. Those who don't walk by the Spirit, they fulfill the lust of the flesh. And they say, I will hold on to bitterness. I will hold on to unforgiveness. I will hold on to anger. I will hold on to jealousy. I will hold on to pride. I will hold on to all these things. And I still think that I will make it to heaven? Not according to God's word. Those are the traits of Lucifer. I'll hold on to hypocrisy. I'll hold on to envy. God is speaking to your hearts today. It's high time you dig deeper, dig deeper, dig deeper, dig deeper, dig deeper into your soul. Go into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want anything to do with anything that you hate because it's an abomination before God. You're looking to see if we have your image. You've been watering us and watering us and watering us and looking for the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, Father, help no one to be a barren tree like the fig tree that had a lot of leaves and put on a shell. When the Father came and saw, there's nothing there. Jesus went there because the Father took him there. Whatever the Father told him to do, he did. The Father saw the tree. Jesus saw the tree. The Spirit of God in him saw the tree. He said, out of this tree, shall no more any fruit come out of it. The Lord of love, did he curse the tree forever? He did that. He did that. He made an example. If we don't bear fruit, God will do the same thing with our lives. We need to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts. A healthy fear of God has to be there all the time, day and night. We don't toy with sin. Never toy with carnal nature and make excuses for it. He said, she said, they said, who said? Who cares who said? Satan will use every agent of Satan to take you to hell. And on that day, no excuse will stand. Adam's excuse didn't stand before God, and yours will not. Eve's excuse did not stand before God, and yours will not, for sure. Understand. People were created in the very image of God. The first two human beings were driven out of the garden, stripped of the glory of God, left to inherit the curse of God, which passed from one generation to the other. Not just third or fourth. It's an eternal curse that they got as long as human race is on earth. Only the blood of Jesus can break us free from that curse. May we be very careful with our actions. Don't be lighthearted when you speak. Don't be sarcastic. Getting a curse from God is not an ordinary thing. It will stay forever upon you and your generation. Be very careful with your mouth. Be very careful. God is watching every word that you speak. God is watching every thought that is in your mind. God is watching every interaction that you have with your spouse, with your family, with your neighbors, with your co-workers. God is watching everything. Let the fear of the Lord be upon you so that God can pity you. God can flood you with his mercy. Take a few minutes in the presence of the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, during this, Lord, week of fasting prayer, during this day of fasting and prayer, Lord, I'm just giving myself over to you, Jesus, to truly fear you, Lord. I don't want to hear this message today and leave it. Stir up my heart, Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Wherever you are, open your mouth and pray. Tell the Lord, stir up my heart, Lord. Let me have the fear of the Lord all the days of my life. Let me never take the things of God, the meetings of God, the time with God casually and despise the presence of God. God will hold you accountable for that. Tell yourself, Lord, forgive me for taking the things of God for granted. Forgive me. Forgive me. From being manipulative, forgive me. Open your mouth and speak wherever you are. As the Holy Spirit is pointing out what's going on in your life. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I want to truly fear you. To fear God is to love him. I don't want to say I love God and not fear him. God will call me a liar. Go to the presence of the Lord right now and repent for whatever you need to repent. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to have the genuine fear of the Lord. I'm not just simply going to say, Lord, help me, help me, help me. You need to have the fear of the Lord. God never said, okay, go pray for the fear of the Lord. God said, fear him. If you fear him, you'll be blessed. If you don't fear him, you'll be cursed. If you fear him, then your generation will be blessed. If you don't fear him, your generation will be cursed. by default, because it's rebellion against God Almighty. That's the worst generation curse we can have, when a curse from God comes upon us. Think about your life before God and say, Lord, I want your mercy. Lord, I want your pity. I want you to flood me, Lord, with your grace. Therefore, I'm not going to say, give me grace to fear you. I'm going to say, Lord, I am going to fear you. I'm making a promise to you. And I'm going to take every measure to do it, Lord. Don't say, I can't keep it, so I don't want to say it. Don't say that's a lie of the enemy. You can do all the other things in the world not to fear him. That shows that you have no fear of God. If you truly fear him, you will do that which is necessary to walk in the ways of the Almighty God. That will become a priority for you. Thank you, Jesus. Take the word of God seriously before God. Thank you, Jesus. Today, if you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, do not harden your heart. Take this time in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I want to give myself over to the fear of the Lord, and I'm giving myself over to your fear, Lord, the healthy fear that I need to have. Thank you, Jesus. If I don't fear you, then I don't belong to you. I need to have that fear. I don't want to despise you. I no longer want to be among the people who despise you. So forgive me. Open your mouth and ask the Lord for forgiveness. If your life would be taken away from you today, are you ready to meet the Lord God Almighty? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you continue to minister to the hearts of your people. It's a joy to be in your presence. It's a privilege to be at your feet. Thank you for speaking to us, O Lord, this night. In all our weaknesses, your strength is being made perfect, O God. Thank you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us once more, for coming through, Father, to your people with the word that can change them forever. And thank you, Lord. I pray that you bless them. I ask you, Lord, that you have your hand upon your people. I pray, Lord, that you do great and mighty work in each one of their lives. They may truly hunger for you all the more, the work that you have begun in them, even yesterday. May that flourish by them giving themselves over to the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he who has it shall abide satisfied. Thank you, Jesus. He will not be visited with evil. Thank you, Lord. Those who truly fear the Lord will not be visited with evil. Their children will be blessed after them. God will pour his mercy and his grace upon them. Fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord brings riches, honor, and life. The fear of the Lord keeps one from presumptuous sin. Thank you, Jesus. So I pray that you will instill this deep truth into the spirits of your people. Whatever they do in their homes, whatever they do in their private time, whatever they do, wherever they go, they always know that you are watching. They always know that they have to give an answer to you. They always honor your presence. They always think about what you will think and what you will do. What your perfect will is. And always remember that you are making note of everything that is going on. What I want to be recorded by you, that's what I should be doing. To please my Father in heaven. in all things. Doing only what God wants me to do, nothing more, nothing less. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the privilege, O Lord, to hear your word today. I pray that you bless your people with your blessings that you alone can bless them with. That whatever you've done in their hearts yesterday, I pray that you will amplify it, Lord, all the more as they give themselves over to the fear of the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for doing this. And praise you, Father. And glorify you. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and bless us with his peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God the Father, and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit rest and remain with us all now and until we see Jesus face to face. Amen. Amen. Jesus.